This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And Sean, what do you have planned for Dave Wyman and me when we get to name that artist less than 26 minutes from now?
Right. Well, I'd like to think that I have a background in improvisational skills, and so that's what I'm going to be using today. I don't have an exact plan at this moment, but...
Didn't we talk last week about maybe spending 5 minutes on Monday evening...
Right.
Thinking it through?
Oh, I thought it through.
Uh-huh.
I did. I spent about 5.5 minutes thinking about what I would be doing today. And I figured, you know what, Sean? Use your imaginary background in improv to make it work out today on Tuesday afternoon.
Nice. You call yourself Sean?
Do I call myself Sean when I'm talking to myself?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I refer to myself in the third person.
Okay.
Sean's going to turn off his mic now.
All right. Bye-bye. Dave Wyman's going to join us about... 1:33 this afternoon. Oh, my gosh. I fell in love last night.
It's been a while since you've said that.
Fell in love. Now, obviously, I am happily married and madly in love with my wife.
And honestly, I think you are such a lucky guy because you married so well.
Totally agree. Absolutely agree. The object of my newfound affection...
Yeah.
Is happily married and madly in love with her husband. But as you know, the main reason that I'm thinking about running for governor is I think we need more hot people in politics. And
I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that hot people can get stuff done because all we have to do, if you're in a negotiation session with somebody who is bitterly opposed to what you want to do, all I would have to do is give them one of my smoldering looks across the table, and boom, get stuck. Anyway, so this is, I'm guessing she's probably about 36 years old.
Okay.
Might be just the cutest human being I've ever seen in my life.
Who is this?
She is running for the for Congress in Alabama, and here let's listen to a little bit of her campaign ad, which is the greatest campaign ad I have ever seen in my entire life. Her name is Jessica Taylor.
Everybody, hang up the hand to have it today. Well,
owner.
What do we got there, Nicole? I'm playing the right clip. But that ain't the right audio. Man.
That sounded like my last story.
Hang on.
I hate it when I give such a detailed intro.
That was such a good one.
Oh.
Here, I'll just play it.
Okay. You're going to have to start and stop it, though. Okay. So I can describe what's on the screen for our listeners. Okay. Here we go. You got it?
I'm Jessica Taylor. I grew up in rural Alabama, hunting, fishing, and four-wheeling. But basketball was my first love. This was my squad. We went to the Alabama Final Four.
Okay, deposit. So right there, it shows her hitting a three at the Alabama Final Four after showing pictures of her team. And, okay, keep going.
More on squads later. I put myself through college waiting tables, earned my law degree at night, and joined the governor's staff, determined to change the world. There I learned how private citizens can solve problems better than government ever could.
Okay.
So I left to start a...
Somebody in government who discovers private citizens can change the world more than government can. Keep going.
Business. But I kept the handsome veteran I met in the Capitol mailroom. Brian and I have 3 great kids, Sam, Fair, and Jackson. Brian continues to serve our state and country while I work to grow my small business, create jobs, and solve problems.
Okay, so her husband, I don't know what branch of the military he's in, but it shows him. He's a military guy. They have 3 just adorable kids.
And he was a former Alabama state senator.
Oh, he was? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he just looks like a solid, straight-up dude. She's, you know, they met in the mail room when she was a kid working at the Capitol. Okay, keep going.
Helping schools, communities, and nonprofits across Alabama do amazing things. So what's next? Well, like you, I'm tired of arrogant socialists like AOC who've never even run a lemonade stand telling us how we should live in Alabama and that more government is the answer. I'm a steadfast conservative, a mom, a patriot, a business owner, and job creator. And even though it might trigger a few liberals, I'll fight to protect life, the Second Amendment, our borders, our military, our families, and President Trump from socialists in the swamp. And I won't apologize for it.
Okay, now pause it. So now for the final scene, she's standing on a basketball court with a basketball under her right hand. She's facing the camera. Her back is to the basket. She's about at least at the free throw line, maybe a little further. So 15 to 17 feet from mm-hmm. the basket. And then she gives this little final monologue on camera.
Jessica Taylor, and I'm running for Congress. I have zero interest in being a professional politician. But conservatives like us need a squad of our own, and I'll build it. So Alabama, put me in the game.
She flings the basketball over her head blind. It's not an edited shot. It's about a 15 seconds of her talking, maybe not 15, maybe 12 seconds of her talking. And I don't know how many takes they had to do, but it's not like they didn't edit right before
she
threw it. She
it
actually
really
talked for
yeah.
several seconds before she threw it up over her head and rattles it home. And I mentioned she's one of the cutest human beings I've ever seen in my life.
She is beautiful,
goodness gracious.
The one thing I would suggest to her, though, why does she have that pounding music throughout the whole thing?
Oh, see, I like
she's
it.
Young.
That is hip.
Oh. She's going to change the swamp. Come on.
And I think it is, I mean, that's how she did the video, but she's in the gym. Her hair's in a ponytail. She's wearing like Nike sporty attire.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Just for radio, I think maybe it's just too much.
If you want to see it, go to my Twitter, at Dori Monson, DoriMonson, and I have that commercial linked up, and you got to go see it. And
The other thing I do really like is that her husband.
Yeah.
So he was the general counsel for the governor, and he resigned basically saying it's his wife's run for Congress that deserves his full support.
What a family. That's what we want. And then she says she has no desire to be a politician, but she wants to make an impact. Ah. Will you do me a favor, Nicole? Will you Zillow Birmingham real estate for me?
You can get good deals.
I'm going to go down there really and good vote deals. For her. Okay. Next up in the – and again, my interest is strictly platonic. I just want to make sure everybody knows that I'm not some creep. Because we're not going to elect a creep governor in Washington, for crying out loud. I mentioned this yesterday. This is one other thing. Since I got this call this morning with the serious offer of financing for a gubernatorial run. First of all, I've never said that I'm a Republican. I'm certainly more libertarian conservative, but I refuse because I don't like either party. And that'd be a challenge for me. I'd have to obviously, Inslee's going to be the Democrat. I don't know that an independent could win, but I don't want to be aligned with either party. I don't like either party. I don't like the parties. I like some people within parties. But I thought this was interesting. The 10 most popular governors in the United States are all Republicans. You got governors of Massachusetts, Maryland, Vermont, Wyoming, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Idaho, Texas, Arkansas, North Dakota. They're all Republicans. They all poll the highest with their constituents in approval rate. And it just also makes me wonder, so what are we doing here in Washington? When you see the worst property crime in the nation here in Seattle, you see the drugs, you see the homelessness, We have sanctuary illegals killing cops and raping women and murdering innocent people. And we're just going to keep going with more of the same. But look at the states where they're happiest with their leadership, because there's no way Washington would be at the top of any kind of gubernatorial satisfaction poll. Next up in the fastest 15. So the city of Seattle, they are going to teach police officers to how to interact with prostitutes more and with sex workers. Channel 4 did a story, and the assistant deputy police chief, Mark Garth Green, said that they're looking for solutions because prostitution is skyrocketing in this area right now.
We've had two homicides in the North Precinct on Aurora directly related to prostitution activities. I have to do something.
So they, and yes, we do. But why is there so much prostitution? Because there's so much drugs. And because if you are a heroin addict, you have to usually commit a crime, whether it's breaking in someone's car, house, shoplifting, you know, turning out your body. You got to commit a crime to feed your habit. And again, this is just an extension of this insanity of us legalizing drugs around here.
We have people that are working the streets that aren't necessarily substance abuse. They have homes. Some of them choose to do what they're doing.
Okay. And Lorena Gonzalez on the council says she wants police to have better training on how to interact.
They need to really understand and take a victim-centered approach. We don't have perhaps the most robust training in this particular space.
And then, the cut I just played where he said some people choose to... Let me play this one again.
We have people that are working the streets that aren't necessarily substance abuse. They have homes. Some of them choose to do what they're doing.
Oh, that upset some of the council members. That he said some prostitutes just choose to be prostitutes. Sally Dime Bagshaw, she was horrified.
That women are doing... are prostituting themselves for a choice is something that is almost shocking to even say.
Jeez. I'm so sick of politically correct ignorance. It is true that some women do that as a choice. It is absolutely true. And I personally know of someone, and I didn't personally know this woman, but I knew somebody that I trusted implicitly who knew this woman.
But I think there are a vast majority.
The vast majority.
Yes.
But he said there are some. I know of a woman who would go down, and she actually corresponded with me this few years ago. She would go down to Vegas on weekends. She was married. She had kids. And she would go down on weekends to Vegas. And she told me the whole story that she wasn't a substance abuser, but she could make $5,000 in a weekend in Vegas. And her husband knew what she was doing, and they just decided the money was worth it. Now, I think that's all a sad
choice. And that
choice.
Profile does not fit what we're talking about on Aurora.
No.
That's not the profile.
No. But, you know, when the police chief, you know, when Sally Bagshaw says she's horrified that he said it could be a choice, for a percentage, it might be a small percentage, but for some, it is a choice. They're not all, and you know, certainly there are some women who are the slaves of these pimps, and for them, it's not a choice. You know, there was a thing in, wasn't it Bellevue, that a high end apartment, and there was a guy who essentially kept these women as sex slaves.
Yep.
And, you know, guys who just traipse in and out all day. So, no, there are some who are being trafficked, but there are some, not a lot, for whom it's a choice. So, anyway, they're going to train cops more so that they can communicate with the sex people.
You support the idea of sensitivity training?
I do. People, I believe, essentially inherently don't believe sex workers are human beings deserving of basic human rights.
Who believes that they are not deserving of basic human rights? Of course they are. And of course they're human beings. So it's I don't know. It just seems like everything we do is through the prism of political correctness instead of results around here. And another story along this. In New York City, the police department has been ordered to deal with the mental health problem on the streets by using different words. For decades, the mentally ill, when the police are on the police radio, they would call the mentally ill encounters with EDPs, emotionally disturbed persons. But Mayor Bill de Blasio, he says that calling somebody emotionally disturbed is stigmatizing, and so he is now ordering the police to refer to all incidents as mental health calls instead of EDPs, emotionally disturbed persons. That'll fix the problem. You change around a couple of words and everything just gets better in America. Okay, next up in the fastest 50. How about this thing on, it's interesting. Everybody thinks that the Republican Party is divided because of Trump, and there are some, Mitt Romney types who don't like Trump. But I tell you where the true dysfunction is right now. And that's in the Democrat Party, where Hillary Clinton has been calling presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset. And this is a woman, Tulsi Gabbard, who served our country in the military, who is a presidential candidate, who is a member of Congress from Hawaii. And Hillary Clinton, you want a glimpse of the absolute blackness, evil in Hillary Clinton's soul?
They're also going to do third party again. And I'm not making any predictions, but I think they've got their eye on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary and are grooming her to be the third party candidate. She's a favorite of the Russians. They have a bunch of sites and bots and other ways of supporting her so far. And that's assuming Jill Stein will give it up, which she might not, because she's also a Russian asset.
Yeah,
she's a Russian asset. I mean, totally. And so they know they can't win without a third party candidate. And so I don't know who it's going to be, but I will guarantee you they'll have a vigorous third party challenge in the key states that they most need it.
So Jill Stein is the far left Green Party candidate from 2016. Wanted a Green New Deal before it was hit, but she's a, far, far left person. Hillary Clinton says that Jill Stein and Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat presidential candidate, are Russian assets after they've spent years saying that Trump is a Russian asset. It is just, I tell you, the darkness and evil in that woman's soul, if that doesn't amply display it for you, I don't know what does. That is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
You have 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Got an awful lot to talk with Dave Wyman about, so I will. Coming up next. George Harrison.
Nice job, Dory.
You know what? I was complimenting Ursula. And I got sidetracked.
And I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, if you were looking at a cute girl in the stands during an NFL game and the quarterback snaps the ball, would you make that excuse?
I didn't do it during... I wasn't looking in the stands.
Oh, well, you're looking on the sideline.
I was looking on the sideline.
The seagull. The seagull who eventually won your heart.
Yeah.
That's sweet. what? Are you laughing already?
Just the way you said that.
Dave Wyman is with us. He joins us every Tuesday. You can hear him afternoons 3 to 7 on Danny Dave and... No. I'm sorry. Bob, Dave, and
don't
Moore.
Ask me.
Bob, Dave, and Moore. So I was thinking, are you guys carrying the World Series over there on 710?
Yeah.
So are you preempted today?
We are.
Whole show?
No, just 5 o'clock, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, Dave. You didn't grow up a huge baseball fan. You've since become very, very expert on the sport because you spend so much time talking to and about the Mariners on your show. But I never got the sense you grew up a baseball fan.
No, I played till I was like 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Beanball Byron, he ruined my baseball career.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Take one in the old
right
cranium?
In the ribs.
Oh, in the ribs.
Yeah. Beanball Byron was this one of the kids that was like at age 13, he had a mustache and hair on his legs and stuff. And he looked like he's probably the same size.
Right.
I don't even remember his last name. I just know his nickname was Beanball Byron.
Right.
And so I was telling all the whole rest of the team, oh, what are you guys afraid of? What's it going to hit every one of us? I mean, why are we afraid of this guy? Big deal. I get up there, first pitch, plunk me right in the ribs. I was never the same.
I can perfectly relate to that. Because we had, in the West Ballard Little League, we had the minor leagues, and that was for kids who were 8 and 9, and then the major leagues for 9 through 12. And when you were 9, if you were good enough, you could play majors.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the majors when I was 9, and the first game of the season, the manager, who a great man, Gene Caruso, loved this man dearly, he gives me the bunt sign, and I kind of knew how to bunt, but I didn't really. And when I slid my right hand up the barrel of the bat, I gripped it with my fingers facing the pitcher.
Yeah.
And the kid drilled me right in the middle finger and broke it. And so I had a big middle finger splint.
Like the guy on Seinfeld that George Costanza yeah. thought was flipping off the New York Yankees.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that was heartbreaking to me because I had to miss the first few games of my first major league season.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a lot of bad experience in baseball. I got plowed at the plate one time and peed my pants. I was the catcher. And it was just like a super long inning. And I was like, oh, I really had to go. Really had to go. I was like in, you know, third grade or something.
Right.
All of a sudden there's a play at the plate. And the second I hit the ground, psh, that was it.
Were you wearing a cup?
I don't remember that. Then I was in right field my freshman year, actually, and my coach, I took my shirt off because it was so boring out there and it was kind of sunny, a sunny Reno day in the spring.
We know who they put in right field.
The worst player.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I can't imagine that you were anywhere near the worst.
Well, I didn't play.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I took my shirt off out there. My coach goes, he was our D-line coach from football. He goes, Wyman, put your shirt on. I go, why? He goes, because you're ugly.
The reason I brought all this up is the World Series starts tonight.
Mm.
And I just remember when I was a kid, Dave, this was so overwhelmingly huge to me. I had a scorebook, and I would fill out the lineups, and I would watch every pitch, and I would keep score of the games. And I remember when I was a courtesy clerk at Safeway, and I'd clean the butcher block and have the radio on, and Vin Scully would always call the World Series games. And it just meant everything to me. Mm. I barely.
Where'd it go?
Where did it go?
Yeah.
I think I know some of the answers. I mean, my interests in life, I mean, sports was all I cared about, so my interests in life have become more diverse. But I think baseball.
But you're a huge football fan, right?
I
mean, you have an NFC AFC championship party every year.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of odd. This year is the first year that I haven't been really excited about the baseball playoffs, just because that whole Mariner season was just such a bummer.
It was. Yeah.
You know, so, but you know what? I love Jose Altuve. He's my favorite player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. He's just a little guy.
He's 5'6".
He's like, yeah, I know. He's a tiny little guy.
I always joke on our show that, of course, he hits the ball. It looks like a beach ball to him, right? Compared to the baseball. I mean, if you're Aaron Judge, it looks like a golf ball.
Yeah.
But for Jose.
I like it. Okay, we got to talk about the Seahawks, what happened to them on Sunday, and we got lots of our stuff.
Sounds like a bunch of hippies.
It's the soundtrack from Hair.
No clue.
Huh.
How'd you get this one?
I might. Mm.
No chance.
Oh. You stumped the band, Sean. Who is it?
All right, it's Marvin Gaye.
Oh,
Inner City really? Blues.
Marvin Gaye, maybe the greatest national anthem in sports history. Marvin Gaye.
Oh, really? Better than Whitney Houston?
Better. Well, I was at the I was there for that Whitney one at the Super Bowl, but Marvin Gaye at the NBA All-Star Game. Ooh, yeah, if you haven't heard that. Oh, my goodness.
Check it out.
Okay, we're going to talk Seahawks. Dave Wyman's with us. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show.
Is that Lenny Kravitz?
No.
Is that a good guess?
Sean? No.
Sean. Come on. No clue. George Benson. That was bad.
You're on the right track with George Benson.
Okay.
These folks were just here, and Dory, I think you may have interviewed one of them.
Commodores?
No, I didn't have a Commodore on. They were just, I interviewed them?
I think you interviewed, one or two of the dudes from this band.
I did?
Nicole seems to be shaking her head.
Well, we did just...
Or nodding her head.
...interview a band member. But it was
from
a couple
band?
Of months ago, at least.
From this band?
Well, I'm not sure who it is, but I'm guessing.
Well, this is pathetic. Who is it, John?
It's the Isley Brothers.
Huh.
Didn't you interview one of them?
No.
Oh. That's how closely I pay attention to the show.
Man. I've never felt whiter now than we miss Marvin Gaye and the Isley Brothers for crying out loud. Here, I found a little bit of that Marvin Gaye national anthem. This is the 1983 NBA All-Star Game, Dave.
You know, I have to say, the reason why I like the Whitney Houston one so much, just sing the song.
Just, yeah.
Don't put all your extra little notes and breaths and stuff in there.
Actually, I'll correct that. Sean's right. We talked to him in July of last year.
Boom.
Isley Brothers.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, yes, yes.
I mean, it's just sing the song. It's a great song.
It's no O Canada.
Did you stand up for O Canada?
Why did they sing it before the Seahawks
sure.
game on Sunday?
Canadian Day or something?
I don't know. We weren't playing the Montreal Alouettes, were we?
No.
On Sunday?
I felt like I showed the appropriate amount of respect.
Yeah.
I stood up, but I was doing other
things. Canada Day is July 1st.
I was doing other things at the same time. I stood, though, right? That's okay.
You know, I sat. You know why? Because their prime minister wears blackface all the time. And
what?
I don't like that.
You're kidding.
Justin Trudeau. No, he's a horrible, virulent racist, and he just got reelected last night.
Kidding me.
No, I don't kid about stuff like this. Okay, Seahawks on Sunday.
Lockett in the slot near side. Blitz is coming. Russell dumps it off. Oh! It is going to go. Coming.
Oh! You just sounded sick there.
Down the near sideline is Peters. Inside the 30, the 20. He's going to take it all the way for a touchdown.
Okay, so here's the question, Dave. And I brought this up on the postgame show, maybe even when you were there. So the Seahawks have played three good teams this season. All at home. The Rams, the New Orleans Saints, the Baltimore Ravens, and they are 1-2 at home against those good teams. They're 4-0 against all the others they've played. So 5-2 is a good record. But how good are they?
Yeah, it's a great question, really. Look, we were kind of wringing our hands last week. And, you know, my wife always asks me, you think they're going to win? And when I left the house, I said no on this one. So, yeah, it's kind of hard. But, you know, I'm looking at the schedule recently, and, like, I can get them to 10 wins.
Oh, yeah.
If you go through and look at the schedule, like, okay, they should beat Atlanta. Atlanta's 1-6. But they have one of the best passing games in the league, although we may not see Matt Ryan.
Yeah, he's in a walking boot and may not play.
But that'll be, like, what, the third time that they've faced a team without its starting quarterback?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's right. New Orleans, Roethlisberger, and Pittsburgh, and now, yeah. Now Atlanta.
So, yeah, it's just hard to gauge. I mean, the pass rush hasn't gotten there. You know, they I think they had five of their sacks in the first game or two, and then just nothing since then. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to tell what this team is. Here's what I was really encouraged by. Mark, they need a hammer on defense. They need somebody who is just going to come up and just nail people. Marquise Blair played really well.
Yeah, they need a young Dave Wyman is what they need.
I'm not so sure about that. But, I mean, look, they need somebody like Cam Chancellor, mm-hmm. you know, to come out there. And I just think Marquise Blair has, like, a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they need that from him. And I think we're going to see a lot of him.
An enforcer type?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, and really, that should be Bobby. Bobby's had an okay year. It's not been, like, great. He hasn't made any big plays, you know. But you're kind of waiting for him to be that $18 million linebacker. But it's not like he's been bad.
Right.
He just hasn't been, you know, great like he usually is.
No,
so
I thought his great value was on display a week ago when he gave a fiery in Cleveland. And I mean, as an emotional leader, you know, you saw the value in somebody like him.
Well, and that was one of the reasons why they signed him. I mean, he's going to have a game like last year against San Francisco where he gets a pick six and all that. But it's also because of the kind of guy that he is. I mean, he's just a, have you ever even heard like a ripple of any kind of a problem?
No.
Surrounding Bobby Wagner, and same thing with Russell. So they got some great leadership. We'll air it today, but we talked to KJ yesterday, mm-hmm. another just good man. Tyler Lockett, same thing. We talked to him yesterday. So I asked him to, you know, do a little bit of his poetry because he released a book.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to do, you know, there was a man from Nantucket, you know, that kind of thing. and so, you know,
it's
what?
Not a book of limericks.
No, it's not. But he did like this spoken word thing that went on for like 60 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. AC/DC.
Boom.
We need a tiebreaker. We're tied at one.
Oh, okay.
Gotta
right.
come up with the tiebreaker, Sean.
Sure. Here we go.
Okay.
This is Anna.
Commercial.
YouTube.
Here we go.
Okay.
Aerosmith.
Boom. Dave wins.
Yay! How quick was that? Man. Is this Sweet Emotion?
It is Sweet Emotion.
Sweet Emotion.
Remember these 70s rock like ballads where they had like this long, like Boston has long time? They get this big lead up.
You know what? Aerosmith is doing a residency in Vegas.
Residency?
Yeah, where you just hang out and play a show at one location for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't move around the country.
What are they in one of those 65 and older home neighborhoods down there?
Yeah, they're playing some
retirement
village.
Take bathroom breaks
village.
After every second song.
What do you say? Huh? You, me, and the wives. Let's go see
Aerosmith
in Vegas.
They were the worst concert and the best concert I saw. And
I've
saw them in the 80s.
Now. I've heard they're great.
Well, they're great, but once they cleaned up,
how about that?
Everything.
Since I've been trying to get you guys to Vegas, let's go see Aerosmith right after the season.
I can't commit to that.
Dang it! Okay, you're Dave every afternoon. Bob, Dave, and more, 3 to 7, 710 ESPN Seattle. Big Lead at 2 is next.